This is the Faraway Farm Boy podcast, episode number 12. My guest today is an ag mechanic who recently started his own business. He knows a bit about everything in life and is quite mechanically savvy, well-rounded. I often go to people like John for advice on different avenues I want to pursue in regards to machinery. Please welcome friends of mine, John Oslander and local dairy farmer, Doug Van Heerden. John, welcome to the podcast. There's no one else really here that needs... Well, Doug's here too. How's it going?
Good. How about you, Dustin?
Good. So I brought you on because you're the world-renowned expert on tractors. So I want to talk about tractors. And Doug's going to translate because I don't know anything, and Doug knows a little bit about tractors. So,
hey, that sounds fair, man.
So tell me a bit about your business.
So I started on my own with my business here almost a year ago, end of December last year. And I mostly focus on fixing ag equipment. So yeah, tractors, combines, that sort of thing.
You're done.
But I will fix anything somebody calls me for.
What did you do this week so far?
This week I did a PTO clutch in actually Doug's 2955 John Deere tractor.
Is that the one on your mixer wagon?
No, it's an older one. We usually only use it in the summer when we need an auger tractor.
Oh, yeah. What's on your mixer wagon then?
That's 7200.
Oh, yeah. And how was that?
Yeah, it was good.
Pretty regular stuff?
Yeah, it was actually the second time doing the same job, so that made it faster. But, yeah, it wasn't bad work.
When did you replace it last?
2 months ago.
So you're really...
That was July.
You're not that good of a mechanic, actually. We should just end this right now and get somebody else on.
You should probably find a professional, actually, yeah.
Gotta add that oil afterwards.
It was operator failure.
What, were you doing neutral drops, or...?
No, it wasn't me. No, it was a PTO clutch, so...
But you did... Oh. You're the one that welded the shear.
Yeah, I welded the shear bolt, so...
Oh, is your name Mikey, by any chance? No. Welding the shear pins on your
the bale shredder, actually.
Oh, you welded the shear pins on your bale shredder. Yeah, I can see that.
So the first thing to give was the clutch, and I did.
Nice. What else did you do this week?
I worked on a couple light tower gen sets, and I worked on some pressure washer trailer that the guys let freeze up so that all the plumbing cracked on it.
Like the pump too?
No, the pump was fine still. Yeah, so it was all the plumbing going to it and after it. And their boiler coil was still fine, but so they got lucky.
So there's a bunch of PVC fittings.
Bunch of PVC and then a bunch of hydraulic hoses high pressure hoses. And yeah, that was, and then I worked on a couple frost fighters, installed a couple Webastos with a guy.
How much do those go for, those big frost fighters? They sell them at Ritchie Brothers, right?
Yeah, usually a few grand.
Yeah, like used ones?
Yeah. And then, they're really finicky, though, eh?
You're also an expert on Ritchie Brothers at this point.
No, I wouldn't say I'm an expert by any stretch, no.
Usually buy and sell a couple grand worth of stuff every year, right?
Yeah, it's kind of fun, yeah.
Yeah. Right. But, like, how much is a new one?
See, I don't even know. It could probably, you might be able to get a new one for $1,500.
Yeah, we have one. We bought one when we built the barn, but we never...
Do you use it?
No.
No?
John used it last.
Just for mechanic stuff?
No, that was when we were building our house last winter, and I used Doug's heater for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was the odd person we rented out to, and other than that, I should sell it. If anybody wants a frost fighter, let me know.
Oh, yeah. Plug it, yeah. I always think they'd come in handy, but maybe not.
I guess for sure they would come in handy. If I had a legit service truck, that I'd for sure own one. I'd buy this off of Doug in a heartbeat then just to have for when you... doing a big job out in the field somewhere.
But yeah.
I'm just not
like
quite
literally
there yet.
Out in the field somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Get a big old military parachute to put over the piece of equipment and pump one of those.
That's
into
true,
there.
Yeah. Don't forget the fresh air inlet. Otherwise, you'll be there for long time.
just commit to it.
Yeah, I guess at that point.
You might have needed a nap then.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. What else do you kind of do on a regular basis? A lot of tractors or a lot of just kind of random stuff?
No, mostly tractors, I would say, overall. It'll be, yeah.
Because you used to work for, you should probably let people know that you used to work for Deere, right?
Yeah, so I worked for Western Tractor, the John Deere dealership, for 7 years.
Right.
And I worked for the Massey and Kubota and JCB dealer for
a year. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Huh. And what did you mostly do at Western Tractor?
Mostly combines.
Combine setups and like...
Yeah, everything. So like in spring was usually setups. Spring and early summer would have been the setups time of year. All winter was inspections on the old ones. And then obviously harvest was fixing the ones in the field.
And then just moonlighting for Doug.
Yeah, moonlight. Basically a lot of moonlighting. I got accused of that a lot, you bet.
Huh. What's all entailed in like a new combine setup?
New combine setup is...
Put the tires on.
Yeah, tires.
That's basically it. You're not really that bright, I mean.
A few more things to it than that, but getting it ready for exactly how the customer wants, whatever concaves they want in there, and making sure everything is level and set, calibrated.
Yeah.
They 30 hours in a combine setup, so there's a bit of time goes into one.
And then you did the same thing with the Kubota combines and put them together.
No, they have yet to see the Kubota combine, but
it's coming. It's in the works, I'm sure. What did you do at, what was it called, New Way?
Horizon.
Horizon.
Well, now it's Palos.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. And then you just worked on basically everything there.
Yeah, it was actually really good for me to go work there. There was a lot of different experience with not all the knowledge around. Like, a Western Tractor is really easy because lots of knowledge in the shop.
Right.
You can ask anybody, bounce ideas off people, and you really get spoiled. They have all the proper tools for everything, like specialty tools.
Yeah.
And working for Horizon.
And it's all deer, too, right?
That's basically. All deer, yeah.
Yeah.
Then working at Horizon, you really actually just had to think for yourself. And it was good for me to have to go do that.
Yeah. Huh. And so what's your company called now?
Willow Creek Mechanical.
Okay. So if people want to find you, they can... Is it on Facebook? You have a Facebook page? Or
I don't have a Facebook page, no.
Interwebs? No?
It's always been word of mouth advertising, and I'm busy enough this way, so I really can't push it too hard.
I was going to talk to you, because I was talking to you the other day about getting a person.
Apprentice. And I was really leery of the idea.
Why was that again?
So often you hear of guys that they add people, they get apprentices.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to work with almost anything. You try it with construction stuff and it works out great. But almost every mechanic that starts out by themselves have a really good reputation until they have guys start working for them. And then all of a sudden, their reputation goes down in a real hurry. And it's not even their own fault. But
what's the other path to expansion then? Like a partnership with another...
Yeah, if you had somebody else, mechanic? I'm not sure. I think you don't see that happen much either. But I would think if you have somebody else that also would buy their own service truck and come in with skin in the game type of thing, right? So they had something on the line so they actually care. That would be ideal, but that's also be hard to line that up.
Yeah.
I guess you just have to go really big. Like if you just started with just two apprentices, I think you'd have to try to find, there's no middle ground. You'd have to also try to get up to 10 guys, I think.
10 apprentices. That sounds better than just one.
Well, journeyman then too, right? You'd have to, I don't see where the middle ground would be very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much, that's like a one man show or it's a big business.
Yeah.
So.
And what about, so you don't have a shop or anything, like if anything has to come to a bigger shop or go inside or whatever.
Yeah.
Bring it to your garage and.
No, I never really bring it to my garage. Well, I worked on Doug's Com in my driveway.
Oh yeah, I guess like and farmers' shops.
Farmers, most farmers have their own shops that I can work in, or it's outside. And if I really need, I have before, I've used my brother-in-law Dave's shop.
Right. Yeah.
And, for the most part, I haven't really had too much for issues, and a lot of need for work to get done just out in the field too.
Right. Yeah. The other thing I was going to ask you is I'm looking for a tractor and I need your advice for a mixer wagon tractor. What's the right road to go? If I use it 2 hours a day, not like hour and a half. Yeah, but I don't feel like fixing it. That's the thing. Like, obviously, if you get a cheap one, it's going to be used high hours.
Right.
Higher probability of breaking. Like, you guys have a 7200. That's worked really good for you guys, right?
Yeah, for the most part. But we've always owned it, always serviced it ourselves and fixed it ourselves. So. But it has a lot of hours.
But did you guys buy it brand new?
Yep. Huh. It was bought brand new. It's a 1995 maybe.
So for the last 10 years, it's basically sat in front of the mixer wagon? I mean, yeah, before that, when the
probably 6-7 years.
When the farm was smaller, I imagine it moved around from from, you know, cultivator to cultivator, whatever.
No, I never really did much field work. I did a lot of loader work, a little bit of small bales, raking, that sort of thing. But
now it's kind of semi-retired. Like, it does the easy.
Yeah, the loader's off. The loader's shot.
It's usually what happens.
It came off and it went on the feed wagon. But it's been good.
Yeah.
The odd, I don't know, the odd hydraulic problem or leak or, but nothing big. It's had a PTO clutch too, and it's had hydraulic pump. That was 10 years ago already. But it's been good. Never had a problem with it. And we did injectors last year, but that was because the fuel company brought us gas instead of diesel.
Nice. Surprise.
So yeah, that's the second time actually that tractor's had gas and it's still running.
Huh. If you go the other way, it's worse? If you put diesel in a gas car, is that worse?
No, that's fine. That's just like putting oil in your cylinder.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. But gas.
You clean that out and then it will be fine after that.
A little smoky.
Yep.
But gas in a diesel is evidently
kind of dry. It won't lube the parts as well. So then everything.
That's what oil is for in your engine, John. Don't you know?
No, there's other parts where the oil is not getting.
Oh, yeah, right.
The diesel fuel's got what much more lubricity.
Your injector pump, everything needs
right
some lube. Plus, gas gets way hotter, right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So you guys, well, so you didn't really go the used row. I mean, it was kind of brand new, but it was just, it fit
your
situation.
Well, we bought it used. It came from, like, my opa's estate sale.
Okay.
So he bought it new.
So should I buy a brand new one, a used one?
The thing is, you gotta think for like the mixer wagon, like that's where you put your tractor now to retire pretty much. Like that's the easiest hours you ever put on a tractor, just sitting on a mixer wagon. Yeah. It's not hard hours. There's a lot of just running, mixing while you're filling and stuff. And like there's not hard hours for a tractor. So you could buy a cheap tractor from somewhere, like a cheap brand new tractor, even like a no-name tractor, and it'd probably do just fine because you don't need the operator comfort. You're hardly sitting in the thing.
Yeah.
So there's. Or you could find something that somebody's used at a loader tractor, beat up for a lot of years, and then let it go work there on that mixer wagon, it'll be just fine. So you could pick just about anything, except there's no need for a fancy transmission, no need for a fancy cab.
Yeah. I was looking at a 6120E.
Oh, yeah?
A Deere. Do you have any experience with the E? Like
no. E's are very not...
made in Mexico or something?
Yeah,
or?
They're the cheapest, cheap line. Like, I think Western Tractor tries not to even sell them just because they are very low line.
That's their Kubota?
That's... No,
it's
that'd be
comparable
less
in price, but it's a little bit better quality, I think. I know when I compared scraper tractors, it was... The E was still a little bit better quality than Kubota.
Okay.
And probably the same price.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I like the Kubota, some of the stuff for the Kubotas. I like their some of their equipment.
They have good motors, right? Like, a lot of their motors are in, like, other telehandlers and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of skid steers. Bob Grant skid steers even ran Kubota engines for a lot of years.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they do anymore, but...
Yeah.
And a lot of gen sets run the Kubota engines. But
right.
They'd be fine, but, like, I've heard of guys running Kubota tractors on a bale spreader, and they just PTO clutches can't keep up to them.
Sorry. Right?
But on a mixer wagon, they'd be just fine.
Yeah. Like you said, easy hours.
Yeah, there's guys that have on mixer wagons, they'll hardly touch the things. They're good, solid tractor for that.
Hmm.
But and the other thing, too, I'd say is whatever horsepower you want for this mixer wagon, try to go 20 horse more than that for sure when you're picking your tractor. If you need 100 horse minimum, don't get a 95 and hope it's going
to
work.
But it's $1,000 per horsepower, John. Like, we're trying to pinch pennies here.
Yeah. Well, with Deeres nowadays, I think you're 1500 a horse or something. But.
Yeah.
But you want it to last.
Yeah.
If you overwork it, but something's going to give.
Yeah, I know. So if I buy, like, under 2,000 hours, then I can still get financing on it. But if I buy, like, an old used one, I got to pay... you know, at least $30,000 cash.
Right.
And then I got to roll the dice on it to see if it's actually going to work for the next couple of years.
So if I was buying one that was under 2,000 hours for the financing-wise, I think I would try to then go brand new. If you can buy a Kubota tractor with a five-year warranty, brand new, five-year, 5,000 to 3,000-hour warranty or whatever, I don't know, if you're buying something under 2,000, you're paying the premium price for it still anyways. Because it is able to get financing. If you're under 2,000 hours, it's it's one of those things that you'd be better off than, I think, leasing something new and then buying it out or buying. I don't know. I'm fairly torn with that whole. But I think there's a big.
Because, like, brand new, then, like, the day you drive it off the lot, you lose, like, 10, 15 grand on a $100,000 tractor, right?
Yeah, but like with that, you can't really just calculate, because you're not going to sell it the next day, right? So you have to calculate your costs over the 3 years you plan to run that tractor and just figure it out to your cost per hour, right? And it's always, you're going to have your 3 hours a day, so you're going to put 1,000 hours a year on. You have to figure it out to your 3,000 hours. How much will it cost me if I can buy a $30,000 tractor and I have to risk repairs and downtime renting a tractor in between, or if I want to buy a brand new one and be guaranteed to have a loaner from the dealership whenever this one goes down. Repairs are free.
Yeah.
So there's, yeah, I guess you'd have to figure it to the cost per hour, how much it would cost you and how much you'd be able to sell it for after that 3,000 hours, or trade in value or whatever it would be then.
Yeah. I do plan on keeping it like forever, right? Just like your 7,200. It's never going to, you're not going to like trade it in for a new mixer wagon tractor, right?
No, it's not worth trading at this point.
Yeah, maybe, well, be worth a down payment on a new tractor if you guys.
No, I doubt. Well, no, I doubt it.
It's got a new PTO clutch in it. It's brand new. That's
right. Huh. Although that 2955 with the new clutch, it's probably better off to get rid of that one than the 7200 at this point.
Yeah. How much money do you guys spend on like repairing and upkeep on your older ones? Like, if the seat's torn, do you guys repair it?
Or? Ask John. I don't know. He fixes them. No, we don't go all out keeping them up. Like, our newer stuff, of course, we do.
Right.
But.
Well, not even,
the older ones, no. It's keep them running. And if it's on a feed wagon, who cares? It's, you jump in it and do your thing for 10 minutes at a time, and it's whatever.
Yeah.
But things we spend all day in will keep up better.
Do you feel that if you don't clean out the inside at least, then you kind of lose faith in that tractor, and you're just like, ah, screw it, we're not even going to fix the seat anymore.
Yeah, and to once an the extent, seat goes, but it's one of those things, once you have it in the shop to service it, you clean the inside of the windows good, you clean the cab. And
yeah, but there's always stuff that goes that you don't really need, like the AC, and every tractor on every farm is like, you know, half working. And people are like, we have a couple it's not that worth we it. Just
bought shorter belts for.
Much. How does but that work?
Well, instead of running it around the AC pump, you buy a shorter belt and just skip.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. I never thought of that.
But do you need AC in something you're in 10 or 15 minutes at a time?
No, yeah. No, it's just like once something breaks on something, like I find with myself anyway, like if something starts breaking and you don't start fixing it, you don't give a shit anymore. It's the same thing with
pickup trucks, right?
Yeah.
If you have something that you're like, all of a sudden it adds up to $6,000 worth of repairs you could do, right?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's worth, like, nothing because you've been treating it like garbage this whole time. But you can't just go replacing every little random part on tractors all day long.
No, it's one of those things. Like, last year, we fixed up a couple of them, the newer ones, really good, but then you start looking at lights, and some of the lights are $600 a piece, and mirrors a couple hundred bucks a piece, and it adds up. But if you don't keep it up, where do you quit?
Yeah, don't buy a New Holland. Whatever you do, you cannot buy the light bulb separate. You have to buy the whole like casing.
Depending on the light, deers like that too.
A lot of times you could try source that through NAPA or Auto.
Yeah, that's right? Well. Yeah, that's what we started doing right away, is because I price it out. It's like, yeah, $80 for a new light or something, or 30 cents at NAPA. It's like, okay.
Or a wiper blade for a combine is $300 from Western Tractor. So,
oh, that's odd. Shipping and handling.
Well, they're hard to find too. Like, I probably spent 3 hours on the phone the first time I tried to find one not through the dealership. It's that nobody has them, and then
they're like 5 feet long too or something.
Yeah, not everybody makes.
No, they're 60 or 44 inches or whatever. Yeah.
So, what kind of combine do you guys have? 90 or
a deer.
What is it though?
9770.
Oh yeah, yeah. So what's the next size up from that? Is that like the S670 or whatever?
Well, the size bigger, the same model is the newer, a 9870. But then if you want to go newer, then you move into the S series.
Oh, okay, yeah. What's the difference on the newer ones?
At the very cab. Start,
because you guys are actually looking yeah, into the upgrading.
The first
right?
difference is just a cab. But
for sure, the first difference because like that 9770 would have changed into an S670.
Okay.
And the biggest difference, like if you want a low base model S670, the only difference most people are actually going to find was the cab.
Okay.
And then you could start adding options to those, of course, and the S680s had different
options. That's still a single rotor, right?
Yes.
The only twin one is the brand new one?
Yes, the brand new one was the only one with the twin rotor.
Huh. But this, even the 680, they didn't change a whole bunch.
Well, they kind of had a twin rotor back in early late 90s. They had the CTS, which is a conventional time separator system.
But then it was a conventional cylinder and a twin...
Yeah, twin separator.
Twin rotor just for separating.
A conventional cylinder runs the same way as a feeder house? Like
yeah.
And that was up until when? What year?
The early, before 2000, prior to the 90s and stuff there, they had a conventional only.
Does that make a difference on the straw?
Cause like, yeah, a lot of cowboys love their conventional style combines.
It's just longer, right?
It doesn't get beat up as bad. A rotor combine will beat up the straw a little bit more, but it's not.
But now, like, all the straw I'm getting, it would be all the same. It'd all be from the same type of single rotor.
Yeah, it's
right?
all from...
Like, there's no more... Well, there's hardly any more conventional...
Not deers, anyway.
No.
The Kloss still has one.
Yeah.
New Holland still has one. They have the CXs. Those are all conventionals.
I think I was just getting some tougher straw or whatever. It was probably just from the same combine, but a different field or whatever. But... Huh. Because you guys were looking at upgrading combine, right?
Yeah, we're always
looking. Or you're always looking at everything, yeah.
No, we're not in a huge rush. If we find something cheap enough that we think is a good deal, that'll work, then maybe. But
and you guys basically look at service, like you don't care which brand or whatever.
Yeah.
Kinda you do care?
John Deere, yeah.
Has to be green?
No, it doesn't have to be, but we prefer it that way. John prefers it that way. That's what he fixes.
So yeah, well, that counts for something, too, right? If you're used to fixing...
We've always had good service from dealership and...
Well, and parts availability is huge, right?
And parts, yeah.
Right.
There's so many places you go to nowadays and try to find parts and try to talk to a knowledgeable parts person, and it's like pulling teeth sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Then a guy really appreciates good service, and you'd pay extra for having parts overnight and paying... extra to have someone that knows what you want the first time.
You should almost monetize that. Like, somebody calls for something, and I'll tell you the answer after you just, like, have their credit card info, yeah. And then just...
So what's your budget?
Yeah, yeah. The quality of the answer depends on how much money you can each transfer me right now. Give them a really vague answer if it's only $5, but, like, you know...
But it's so true. People will pay almost anything, especially when something downtime costs them so much money, right? Like, let's say he gets his crop rained on because he couldn't get it in the bin a day earlier.
Right.
That would cost him, even if it was $1 a bushel, on one whole quarter, that could cost him thousands of dollars very fast.
Sell it, John. Sell it.
It's true.
What else are you doing to provide that added value to your service?
I guess I'd be just trying to find suppliers and stuff that can get parts fast and trying to see who I want to work with the most for that. So I'd, within my first year yet of business, and it's hard to... It's been a real eye-opener for me, just seeing, because I came from Western Tractor originally. I thought every place would have the same service, and they don't. Yeah. And it's crazy for me to see. I was like, so buying a case part is not the same as buying a deer part. Like, it's...
Right.
Makes you angry just going there. You like, talk to them on the phone, you're on hold for a half hour, like, hey, this cost me this much time now. Like, it's frustrating, right?
Yeah. But you just pass it on.
You can't. A lot of
you
that
can't
time.
Can't pass on those hours?
No.
A little bit.
The guys aren't going to call you back then.
That's true.
That's so you can pretty much either, I could choose if I spent all my time and build out every hour that I was spending for parts and parts running and mileage to go get parts. You wouldn't be competitive with the next guy still. Like, you have to still be just... They're just going to wait the next day and have a courier bring those parts, and...
Yeah.
There's a time and a place, for sure. If a guy needs to get going right now and he's willing to pay for you to go to Lethbridge to get the part, that's one thing, but...
Yeah. What other challenges have you had with starting your own business? That's quite something, right? How long ago did you start?
End of December last year, so almost a year ago.
That's not easy.
No, for sure not. My biggest would be trying to charge out for mileage and parts and time that I... Like, non-revenue hours is my biggest challenge, for sure.
Right. Constantly dicking around.
Yeah, if I can just have good, successful weeks. Like, this last week, I've had a really good week. I had lots of hours that I was actually getting stuff done, and, like, it's sweet. If you spend a half a day in Lethbridge going to 7 different places to find stuff, it's kind of frustrating. At the end of the day, you're like, huh, so I had 4 billable hours. And it's hard to pay the bills that way, right?
How often do you spend, like, researching stuff?
Oh, I spend a lot of time.
But is that... some of it you have to do on the job. I just... Whatever. I couldn't do what you do because it's, like, it's totally foreign to me. So I'd be on Google, like, the whole time with my left hand and fixing something with my right hand.
Yeah, but you have no idea how... YouTube. Even for myself, I've been doing YouTube this for 12 years. I still go to YouTube and Google. Like, there's so many times, like, their knowledge out there is endless, right? And I'm always learning something. Every day I'm learning something.
Yeah. Especially on stuff you're not used to, like...
Yeah. Yeah, now more so I have random stuff like light towers and heaters, like go work on a diesel frost fire, and then they're totally new to me still too, right?
Yeah. That's got to be tough.
But it's a lot of the same concepts with things, and that's the other thing, I guess, too. When I do look stuff up on YouTube or Google, a lot of their stuff will make sense to me still right away.
Hmm.
There's other times that anybody else could look it up and they're like, hey, this is dumb. This guy doesn't even know what he's talking about or whatever.
Yeah.
And just you fish through it and you see which videos you want to follow and which diagnostics and...
Right. You do a lot more of that kind of stuff? Like, you have a pretty expensive laptop and stuff? Or?
Yeah, I did get a laptop with all service manuals and stuff on
it. One of the Panasonic Toughbooks or whatever? Yeah. You got one?
Toughbook, yeah.
Huh. And like $5,000 or something?
This one was $3,000, yeah. Oh, it's nice. A used, refurbished laptop, and then...
So what's different about that type? Like, why couldn't you do that with an iPad?
The ability to put different hard drives and stuff into it. So now this one's been updated to a 2 terabyte hard drive.
Okay.
And it's, I guess that's a lot of memory. I'm not a computer guy.
Yeah.
And it's got 16 gigabyte of RAM, so it's fast enough, and there's a lot of info on that computer.
All right.
And you don't want it to try... spend 3 hours digging through it to find it, too.
Yeah, and they're waterproof and all that stuff, right?
Well, I wouldn't say it's waterproof, but it can take a bit of a beating. It's a big it's a big laptop. It could take a little bit of shock.
I go through computers in the barn, or keyboards mostly in the barn, like crazy. You just come there in the morning, there'll be 5 pages of the letter A. It's like, toss that keyboard, next.
We haven't gone through one.
Yeah, it's because you have a nice barn, nice office.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's on their dirty hands.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, back in the day, these tire shops used to have that plastic cover over their keyboard.
Yeah, that's what you need. Right?
You really got to know your keys then, because it would be black. Like, there would be no keys visible.
You could probably get a new cover for it. I'm sure there's a thing somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure there's
I'd search thing. The Amazon.
Yeah. Search the Amazon for it. Yeah. So tell everyone again what the name of your business was.
Willow Creek Mechanical.
Okay. And how can people in the area get a hold of you if they need something fixed? They can phone me. You and your 10 apprentices that are going to soon, with all the business you're going to get out of this, John, you're going to need to get apprentices, so.
I'm not sure, Dustin.
What's your, you're on Grindr or Tinder or something, I'm sure?
I have Facebook.
Oh, Facebook.
Myself,
oh, okay.
But not my business isn't on there, but personally my name's on there.
Okay, cool. We'll send the word out. Doug, thanks for coming on and translating.
Yeah, you bet.
It's
a busy night for me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thanks for coming out. And thanks for coming out, John.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dustin. Guys.
Thank you for listening to the Faraway Farm Boy podcast, episode number 12, with Doug Van Heerden and John Oslander from Willow Creek Mechanical. Join me again next week.